Leslie Zemeckis, it's nice to finally meet you because I really do feel that I have become, I don't know, your official biographer.
Yes, you have. Thank you.
You feel the same way?
Absolutely.
How did I first come upon your books?
Either that or the first movie, Behind the Burlicue.
I think they were sort
probably
of both. Together.
Yeah.
You have fashioned what I think is a now somewhat astonishing career as, seriously, you're laughing,
but
filmmaker and author. This seemed to all start in L.A. when you did a show, a burlesque show of your own, right?
Well, it was burlesque inspired. Which, because it was inspired, I didn't really know what burlesque was.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. But you did research, did
yes,
you not?
Yes, I did a lot. And then that's what led me to decide to do the first movie, which went to the first book, which was Behind the Burlicue, The History of Burlesque, because I didn't find anybody had really talked to the women in burlesque and really what was their story.
Well, see, some of the books, and I did some research, too, when I first encountered you and the books, there would be sort of quickie books, superficial kinds of books, mostly written by men, therein lying one of the great problems.
I think all of them written by men.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah. And highlighting the comedians, and they would say a little bit about the women's act, but not, you know, where they came from, where they went, blah, blah.
Well, I found it a very sexist way of telling the story of burlesque, where you would spend more time on the baggy pants comic than you would on the we both have to, and I think we're both sophisticated enough, Leslie Zemeckis, to realize that one of the reasons that burlesque was popular had more to do with the women, I believe, the women performing in, but that's what drew
absolutely
an audience. No one was coming. It's like Playboy. I read Playboy for the articles. I go to burlesque to see that comic pour water on his head.
Exactly.
Ha, ha, ha. No one would believe that. When you started doing research, the research led you to, if memory serves, and it always doesn't, led you to sort of orchestrate a reunion.
Yes.
With former burlesque stars.
Yes.
And in Las Vegas at the old, I think it's Bygone Stardust Hotel, right?
Yeah, right before they blew it up. Yeah, and that, you know, gave them a chance to reconnect, and it also let me then get their stories. And then from that, it grew into 2 years of other research. And, you know, sadly, most of them are gone.
Yeah.
Just in that time.
What did you sense? I remember the book, and I remember the individual stories, but what did you sense about the camaraderie between these women, many of whom, and this goes to the sort of heart of your latest book, Feuding Fan Dancers, where you would think would be intensely competitive, but it wasn't always.
No, it was really, there was a lot of camaraderie. I think they felt, because they were in such an odd career, they really felt like, and one of them told me, you know, it was us against them. You know, there was the other people out there, and we stayed in our community. And I think they were hugely, for the most part, supportive of each other. Now, they didn't want their act stolen, so they could be very protective of that. But I think they were generally pretty good to each other.
Well, also, the whole notion of someone in that profession being kind of deemed an outsider,
right,
too, is something that would give them a collective respect for one another.
Yes, absolutely, because they knew they weren't doing anything wrong. They knew what they were doing. They were working really, really hard.
Also, I've often thought, and now, you know, you started doing all this before any of the Me Too explosion, these women, almost all of them, including Mabel Stark, about whom we will talk soon. That's the subject of one of the most astonishing documentaries I've ever seen. I'm not kidding you.
I love that story.
I know I can be hyperbolic. I can be more hyperbolic in person than I can be in print. But I love that movie. We'll talk more about Mabel Stark, too. There's one of the great... she's something out of a great novel, but she was real. There's a real that sort of feminist feeling to these guy to these people even before that word was commonly used.
Absolutely. I mean, they were really creating not just their careers but their lives on their own, and it wasn't dictated by a man or a husband. And they were extremely independent, really against the odds, you know, Mabel in particular.
Sure.
But you know, all these women, you know, their families didn't want them to go into burlesque or stripping, but it afforded them something that they couldn't have had otherwise. It really gave them opportunity.
Leslie, there's something that I've never touched on in any of the stories I've written about you. Where are you from?
California, San Diego.
What's your background? I mean, it's not a academic background, is it?
Because not at all.
You have really proven yourself, and does it often surprise you? You are a voracious researcher.
Yeah, I love research like a crazy person. I'm also a huge reader.
Yeah, but where'd you go to high school? Where'd you go to college? What'd you study?
And I didn't go to college.
Neither did I. That's what I mean.
I wanted to start life.
How did you start it?
Went to Los Angeles and started acting. And I think that's part of it being everything I do from acting and directing and writing, I think it's all the same. It's telling a story, being a storyteller, and I see them all, you know, parts of the same thing.
Had you been fascinated and passionate about any specific subject academically or scholarly before you came to...
No, but I love this era. I love the 30s. I've always read about it. I love those old movies. And then from starting the burlesque and then my film on the Siamese twins, vaudeville and circus, they're all kind of the same, you know, pop culture at the same time that was really huge. And I had no idea how huge it was in our culture. So it was interesting.
Well, you've made... it's your territory now as far as I'm concerned. I know there are other books written about it, but in following your passion without a kind of pragmatic, I want to be a best-selling author. I mean, this is a genuine extension of your passion. What was the show you were doing in L.A. that had to do with burlesque? I know it ran for a long time somewhere.
We did different variations of it. It was called Star. I'd rather be a mistress, and she was, you know, a mistress, and I had dancing boys and everything. And I had modeled her sort of on a Gypsy Rose Lee Mae West, which led to the burlesque thought.
Well, your latest book is Feuding Fan Dancers. You're going to be on all the way till 3 if you can do it.
Of course I can.
Leslie has a place in Chicago. You mostly live in Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about your husband, too, because he's... Bob Zemeckis is a notable film director. He's got a new movie coming out called Marwin, which from the trailer I saw last week, I don't really understand, which is probably for the best. It stars Steve Carell. He has also made...
And me, I'm in it.
You are?
I am.
Do you play one of those little tiny people? It's fascinating on some level. It's terribly compelling, but I'm like, what is this movie about? Someone is beating up Steve Carell, and then he's like a little soldier. But it's a Bob Zemeckis movie, and Bob has won Academy Awards and made such films as Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Back to the Future, Forrest Gump, and not most recently, but the movie Flight, which I thought was one of Denzel Washington's greatest performances. He's a kid from Roseland.
Yep.
So you have a serious Chicago tie, and you have a place here, which is not far from one of the places you love to go research.
Oh, I love the Chicago History Museum. For every project, I think I've been in there. Everyone.
I'm keeping Leslie Zemeckis here all the way until 3 o'clock. We are going to talk... And I am even going to read from, and I don't do that unless I really like the book and really like the writing. It's not going to be long, a few paragraphs, but it's been as your official biographer or unofficial biographer, it's been an amazing thing to watch you grow as a writer, and I think this book is a leap ahead. The others are good, but this one is quite special. Welcome back to me, Rick Hogan, filling in for John Williams. Tomorrow night... At 7 p.m., if you go to Volumes, a book cafe, which is a fantastic bookstore run by very nice women, you will get to meet Leslie Zemeckis and buy a copy of her latest book. Well, you can buy all her books, but you should buy her latest book, The Cause for This Party, Feuding Fan Dancers, Faith Bacon, Sally Rand, and The Golden Age of the Showgirl. She will also have there... Fan dancers. I cannot believe you found fan dancers in 2018.
They're everywhere.
I haven't seen one. What do you mean they're everywhere?
Well, you got to go to the bookstore tomorrow night.
Well, I do know that there has been, not coinciding exactly with your rediscovering burlesque. I mean, there's been a recent rise of that art form without the baggy pants comics.
Definitely.
And without the other idiots. A woman in Chicago named Michelle L'Amour, who I know you know well,
yes,
has sort of resurrected that whole thing. This we're going to talk about Mabel Stark. We'll tell you about her. She was a tiger tamer, perhaps the greatest tiger tamer of all time. But I want to read you a little something from Feuding Fan Dancers. I will not read until later the beginning of the book. The book begins in Chicago. There is a ton of Chicago in this book because these two ladies, I think, first encountered each other at the Century of Progress exhibition along the lakefront in 1933 and 34, where another fascinating guy character was involved named Mike Todd, too. Not involved with them, but he was something, too. This is Leslie Zemeckis writing, and I said that she has grown as a writer with each book, this one, Feuding Fan Dancers, being the latest. Here's something that could suffice as an introduction for you. Both enjoyed the dance. Perhaps they had no talent for anything else. Perhaps they didn't need to. Both were showgirls who emerged from the chorus line to demand the audience look at them, to confront a woman's sexuality owned wholly by that woman. Both Faith and Sally sought sensationalism. They lived unconventional lives, for the most part, without the influence of a man or the acceptance of society. That should be on a book jacket, because that is such an... It's deep in the book. One of many, many great paragraphs in this book. I know and knew a great deal about Sally Rand. I knew nothing about Faith Bacon, and I find her life equally interesting and seriously more tragic than that of Sally Rand. Could you tell me and the listeners a little about Faith Bacon before they buy your book?
Yes, she was a Ziegfeld Follies girl in 1930s. She was one of Ziegfeld's rival was Earl Carroll. He had the Vanity Show on Broadway, these big reviews where tons and tons of naked girls and dancers and showgirls, and Faith was dubbed by him and then Ziegfeld as the world's most beautiful girl. She had she could stand nude, completely legal on Broadway, and she did with holding two big fans. And then she got an idea, well, I'll move and I'll cover myself. It still got her arrested at a matinee. The show had just opened. By that night, it was standing room only. The show was sold out after that, and she became a huge star in the papers for every little thing.
She then came here. She learned that there was another woman in Chicago doing something with fans as well,
yes,
and sort of came here to confront and compete with and to best and to put out of business the famous Sally Rand.
Exactly. Sally came here at 33, did her fan dance, became hugely, hugely famous, brought in millions literally to see her at the fair. When the fair came back in 34, Faith's like, what's this woman I'm hearing about doing the fan dance? She came, she got a job easily because of who she was. And the first night, Sally showed up and sat in the front row to watch her. Very nice.
One of the things that differentiated these two performers was that Sally Rand was something. She wasn't only a publicity hound. She was something of a genius at publicity. She famously in Chicago, one day I think she was arrested four times in one day.
Yes.
But she famously, a la, Guinevere, rode a white horse.
Yes, Lady Godiva.
Lady Godiva, I mean.
Yeah, but she also did, before she did that, so you're talking about at the fair, she broke her way in being nude and on a horse to a ball that William Randolph Hearst's wife was hosting, which is crazy. But a year or so before that, she was part of the artist ball who annually had a Lady Godiva, and she came in nude. She wanted to bring a horse. They wouldn't allow her, so she said, well, get a door in the busboys can like ride me around. She would do anything for publicity.
There was Faith Bacon, a real, and I've talked about this, is, and it is Leslie Zemeckis in your book, Feuding Fan Dancers. She's one of the most tragic figures I've encountered in as long as I can remember.
She's, she was called the Marilyn Monroe of her day, and she's really why I became obsessed and wanted to write this story. And it couldn't be just a story about Faith Bacon because her life really had a lot to do with Sally Rand.
Oh, yeah. But she also, she had a terrible, terrible accident. Where her legs were,
yes.
I don't know if it was an accident.
Yeah,
it was.
She was dancing or posing. I'm not sure which, on a glass, kind of like a drum or something, and she just fell through it and cut up her legs terribly.
And that sort of made it tough.
Yeah.
To do what she did. Of these two women, you do a remarkable job of bringing them both to life, Faith Bacon and Sally Rand, and their sort of conflict, and also detailing what the meaning, the true meaning of what it was to be a showgirl. Define it for me now. What is a showgirl?
I mean, it's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, no kidding.
And it's a short career. It's a very, very short and terribly demanding career. But these two, too, were, Sally Rand especially, was, as they say, a tough old broad. She was, for those of you who have read the book, The Right Stuff, she is a featured player in Tom Wolfe's remarkable book about space travel. She did in her... Boy, she must have been in her 60s by then, right?
Mm-hmm. She was famous, born in 1904.
Yeah, she was. In the Houston Astrodome, when they were celebrating the first astronauts, she did her famous fan dance, recreated in the movie The Right Stuff, after Sally Rand had died by some other fan dancer, I suppose. But how you detailed in the epilogue, Sally Rand just kept at it, didn't she?
Absolutely. But she had the advantage, partly because of the Chicago World's Fair. She was really associated with that. She was really associated with the hope that people needed at the time about
middle
the Great Depression.
Depression, sure.
They really thought, you know, if this little girl who's got nothing, and she had nothing, she was, you know, broke and desperate at that point. If this girl's got something beside, you know, her fans, and she can make it, we can. And because she was associated with that, as she aged, she kept getting hired for that nostalgia value.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, she was respected in that way.
Well, you would think, and there were, and you make, there are parallels between both of these women and Marilyn Monroe. And you think to yourself now, had Marilyn Monroe not died, that there would be that kind of thing going on with her too now. I mean, she wouldn't be naked somewhere, but there would be, in the same way there is with Elvis,
right?
Let's say, on the other side. Leslie Zemeckis will be appearing and signing her book.
With a fan dancer.
Yes, there'll be a fan dancer. Who is the fan dancer? Not that we would know her name, but...
Eva LaFiva.
Oh, that's a good name. Where does she normally fan dance?
She's here. She's local. I've been getting people from local.
But not when she's not doing book events. At people's
You'll have
homes.
To ask her. Yeah, no. There's shows around.
Yeah, there are shows all over the place. Michelle Lamour still puts on a lot of shows. Welcome back to me finishing up my fill-in on the John Williams Show. If you Google Zemeckis and movies, you're likely to get a lot of stuff about Leslie Zemeckis's husband, Bob, who has made a lot of movies and about whom you said, told me, that you don't consider yourself a filmmaker. Bob's a filmmaker. Indeed, he is, but so are you. If you Google Zemeckis and then Mabel, Tiger Trainer, you will get a fantastic movie about a woman named Mabel Stark, who is one of the great feminist heroes of the 20th century. She sort of invented herself.
Completely.
Completely invented herself and did become as famous, you should see, as Leslie has, and I looked them up before writing about it, you should see the old clippings from the Chicago Tribune about this woman. You would think that she was running for governor now. Astonishing.
Yeah. You know, that's, you know, it's funny. Everybody actually that I have written about or done a film about in their day was hugely famous, and you can talk to people today and no clue.
I know. Well, that's one of the things that always intrigues me about history, that how history is able to bury so many people in dust, and you just do not realize how incredibly... I just reread for about the fourth time the biography of Mike Todd, mm-hmm. written by a guy named Art Cohn, who died in a plane crash with Todd when they were leaving. Elizabeth Taylor would have been on that plane. She was Mike Todd's wife. And they both died in that plane crash. And Mike Todd, who spent a great deal of time in Chicago, one of the great hustlers and innovators I've ever known. And, oh, yeah, there used to be like a Mike Todd theater, right? Well, it was a lot more than that. In order to induce you and seduce you into buying Leslie Zemeckis' latest book, Feuding Fan Dancers, and Leslie does have a very, very good website, LeslieZemeckis.com. I'm going to read you the way in which the prologue ends, and tell me you don't want to buy this book. Ready? Like numerous third-rate hotels, there would have been a long, narrow hallway with a grimy window at the end. Imagine hazy light from the dim hallway casting uneven shadows over the pattern of the worn carpet. Neither light nor optimism could penetrate the broken souls in a cheap hotel. A last stop, a temporary asylum from dashed dreams and delusional schemes. Impulsively, or had she been thinking of it all day, the blonde raced toward the window. Her roommate yelled after her. A low-heeled foot clung to the rim of the ledge. There was no time to turn back. Her roommate grabbed at her skirt, feeling the assurance of fabric in her rough hand. Then, horrifyingly, she felt it give too fast, and the material slid through her hand. No! She screamed as her troubled friend vanished from sight. It was not an easy end to a life that had not been lived easily. Ironically, 1956 was a leap year. Leslie Zemeckis, that is very, very good writing.
Thank you.
Do you know that, or do you?
I do. I do. I'm proud of this book.
And you have come to the kind of academic literary world after, in I think what is a really wonderful way is a previous life as a performer, and I think you get it in a way that most writers don't. You have a sense of narrative. You have a sense of the drive. Some of it, I think, coming from some of the subjects about whom you've written, too. Don't you feel that way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can see their stories when I'm writing them.
This would make a remarkable movie. And you're right. Faith Bacon was a beautiful, beautiful woman. Sally Rand, attractive, but not... no comparison.
No, and I found it's interesting. I was Googling around for stuff. I saw footage of this woman, and it said stripper Sally Rand, and I looked at it and I watched it, and it's Faith, and it's so rare, it's astonishing. 1931, and you can see how beautiful she is, and her dancing, how gorgeous.
Yeah,
it's remarkable.
It is a sad end for both of these women, but a great deal of the book does indeed take place in Chicago. You're out doing promoting the book wisely. You will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Volumes Book Cafe, which is a great independent bookstore at 1474 North Milwaukee Avenue, 7 o'clock, and there will be a fan dancer there performing a la Sally Rand, or doing her own distinctive kind of thing. Because Sally Rand's Fan Dance was a book I wrote with my father many years ago called Yesterday Chicago, for which we went out and talked to a bunch of old press photographers, has a remarkable photo of Sally Rand kind of totally naked, hidden behind an opaque kind of screen. And I remember interviewing the photographer, was very old even at the time in the 70s, and his take on what it was like to go upstairs and visit Sally Rand in this room is just priceless. So Sally Rand has been part of my life for a long time, but you bring her back to life vividly, Leslie Zemeckis, and Faith Bacon. You have done her it's not your place in the world to do her proud or to do her justice, but you have done that. Does that make you, do you sense that too?
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, what I want to do with these people. I don't want to, I don't base my research or anything that I find to make them look better, or I just want to tell the truth, but I do think their stories have value.
I do too. I do too. You said, you told me once that, I said you were, you're intrigued by an interesting realm, and you said, I guess I am just drawn to outsiders and underdogs. And
definitely,
one of the great things about it is you elevate them. It's great to meet you face-to-face. Look in the Tribune in the upcoming weeks for a review of the feuding fan dancers, because I really do want to write about my old buddy Sally Rand and this one of my new tragic heroes, Faith Bacon. It's great to meet you. Knock 'em Dead at Volumes tomorrow.
Thank you.
7 p.m., 1474 North Milwaukee Avenue. Leslie has a wonderful website, and that's how you can get her other books and her movies and everything else about you.